I don't know, I hope you all feel the same way, but I live for Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And the reason for Sunday morning, Brother Frank's a great preacher. Y'all know that. I don't got to tell you that. But I love that. But I love going and teaching Sunday school and being a part of Sunday school because there are other people there that we get to share with. And it's terrific. And I think that's really a plan of God that he's got for all of us. And I'm gonna kind of preach around that tonight and share with you just a few things. But, you know, sometimes we feel like we're in the doldrums, so to speak, and we almost can't get our breath. And 2 Timothy in the Living Bible translation says this. It says, may the Lord bless on us for us and all his family because he visited me and encouraged me often. This is Paul writing this. Onesiphorus was actually a believer who visited Paul, and they visited together. And he says this, his visits revived me like a breath of fresh air. Can you imagine that? The breath of fresh air. Sometimes when I leave Sunday school, I feel very much that way. I feel like, you know, I've been revived for a while, you know. And it's not what I've just taught in the class. It's being around the other people. That's what it is. And I you know, fully well know that. And the Bible calls this fellowship. That's the term that the Bible uses for it. And I really think we need people to learn from, people to encourage us. And you know, sometimes when you think no one knows what I'm going through, someone may have already went through it just like you are. And you don't know it until you share with them. And I know you probably have experienced that kind of thing. I didn't put it in your notes, but Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, that day that Christ is going to come and return. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He said, but don't forsake the assembling of together, because there's a great purpose in it. And that's what I want us to see in what we do tonight. Now, I think hopefully you are already know this, that, you know, we need each other, folks. You with me on that? I didn't surprise anybody, did I? You could, if you want to, turn to the right and tell the person on your right that you need them. Now turn to the left and pick the person that you didn't choose and tell them you need them. We need each other. I saw some of you kind of, you know, back porching there a little bit. But we do need each other, because in fellowship, we help each other. We're there for each other. And it's such an important scriptural thing that we need to learn from. And I put down in your notes there, why do we walk alone? Why do we think that we can get through this life and call ourselves Christian and walk alone in the journey? Because let me tell you, folks, it was never, ever meant for you to do it alone. I hear people tell me all the time, I can worship God wherever I want to. And I kind of just smile and say, well, what about his house where the rest of his people are? Wouldn't that be a logical thing? And it's always been that way for me, because I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy the spiritual part of what God does for him. Now, when we walk alone, why do we walk alone? Look at the things I put on there for you, because I think they are very, very important for us. Now, look at Ecclesiastes. I kind of got working on this when Brother Frank preached this a few weeks ago. Ecclesiastes 4:8 says this, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. And that's the NIV version. His eyes were not content with his wealth. This man was all alone. He had enough wealth to do anything he wanted to. It seemed like there was no end to the work that he was having to do. He was, you know, I talked a couple of weeks ago, sometimes how we put our head down and we just keep going and we just keep going and we just keep going. That's what this man was doing. And he had acquired quite a bit of wealth, and there the wealth was. And he was, you know, he was still down doing this, and it said there's no end to his work, no end to his toil, all the money he had. You know, he still felt very much alone. Have you ever felt alone when the whole crowd of people around you? Well, I sure have. You go somewhere or something and you're really inside yourself and you feel so alone. And it may be 50, 100 people in the room where you are. But that's very possible for us. That very well can happen. And I don't know if you've ever had that feeling. But he said there's no end to his toil. He's still working, going on and on and on and on, never stopping to look up to see what's there for him. And the money he's accrued is not enough. It doesn't satisfy him. How many of you know the number of people that we see, especially famous people, they're going the wrong direction because the money they made is just tremendous, but it never satisfied them. I know some of you out there saying, I'd kind of like to see if it would or not, you know, just once. But we have these excuses, is what I'm putting down here, of why we try to walk along. Now look with me. First of all, we're misinformed. We're misinformed. We don't know. You know, no one's ever told us that we had to do this together. A lot of people are in that category. They truly don't know. And so they think, I can do Christianity by myself. Just me and God, that's all that matters. And there are a lot of things just between you and God, okay? That's between you and God, and I think that's where it needs to stay. And I certainly respect that and understand that. But, you know, I got to looking at this, and I got to examining myself as I went through this, and I asked myself, how many close friends do I have? I want you to ask yourself tonight, how many close friends do you have? You know, I came up lacking in that. I'll just be honest with you. Because this is, you know, I'm just a private kind of person. I try to be that. I've told you before, I don't do social media. I'm actually considering it now. I'm serious. After reading some of this scripture, you know, it may be useful. Maybe I can do it. I don't know. I'm thinking about it, though. Don't rush me. But I am thinking about it. But a lot of people are misinformed. They just think we can go through this on our own, and hey, we need to do it. I love the story by Muhammad Ali. I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but he got on the plane. This is back in his boxing prime, you know, where he was the champion and he was all this. And he told everybody everywhere he went that that's what he was. And he was on a plane, and the flight attendant came up and said, sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt. And he looked back at her, and he said, Superman don't need a seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need an airplane either. So buckle up and shut up. But many people have this attitude. They do, especially men. Hey, we're guilty, okay? It's just between us and God. We don't need nobody. We don't need to tell nobody what we're thinking. We don't need to tell nobody what we're praying about. Just me and God, we're going to handle the whole thing together, and that's the name of that. Folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you, if that's what you're trying to do, you're way out of the plan. Because the plan includes other people in your life. And God's going to put them there for a purpose. If you put them off, then you turned away what God was giving you. You turned away a gift. And they're all over the place. Second one, I'm moving on. Temperament. It's not just, I'm just not an outgoing person. I hear a lot of people say that. I'm not an outgoing person. Hey, let me tell you something. God knows what kind of person you are. He created you. He made you like you are. And God didn't make you to be different from everybody else and that you don't have to go through all this. That's not true at all. You need to go through this life with people. He created you. He knows you. And you know, you need people to help you get even over the complex you have. If you're saying, you know, I'm not an outgoing person, I can't do this, I can't do that, there's a lot of things involved in that. So you need somebody to help you with that. And I mention that to you because that's one of the excuses that I hear and that we say. The third one I'm put down there is fear. Fear. This is one of mine. And I kind of pictured this in my mind. Years ago when I wasn't in church, I was so misinformed about it. I really had no idea what was going on and how they did it. And I felt so out of place because I had never attended. Some of you may feel like that tonight. I hope you don't. I hope you don't when you leave. But I often felt that way. And I kind of was like this, you know. I had this thing in my mind, and you may have this. Somebody invites you to come to Sunday school, and come to our Sunday school class. We'd love to have you, you know. And before you go, you get in the car, and here's what you're thinking. It's always, the image gets in your mind. You say, well, I'm going to go to Sunday school, and there I'm going to show up, and everybody's going to know that I'm not a member of the class. I hadn't been there before, and I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. And as soon as I get there, all those people, about 20 of them, are going to greet me. They're going to put me in a chair in the middle of the room, and I'm going to have to confess every sin I've ever committed. Y'all have never had that thought? I have. That's fear. You know where fear comes from, folks? It's not from God. It's Satan trying his best to keep you away from the people of God. And that's what he's doing. And if you fear it, folks, and there's fear in your heart about that, then you're letting him get a victory where you need to be doing it. Where God wants to have a victory in you, you're letting Satan get involved in that whole thing there. And you don't have to do that at all. You can follow. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do, folks, in this church is get involved in a small group. Now, we have a lot of different small groups, and you heard me talk about Sunday school ad nauseum. I do that here because in Sunday school, you're around folks that are kind of like you are. This is where everybody knows your name thing. They're kind of like you are. And you see different people, and you get to meet different people. I was thinking when preparing this, there's a couple people I probably would have never got to meet, or I'm talking about, and actually got to know them. And Daryl's mother, Miss Annette, she's in my Sunday school class. If you've not met Miss Annette, I'm going to just tell you what, she's a character. She's a character and then some. You know. And if she had never been in Sunday school with me, I would have never known anything about her. Now you say, Mike, we come every Sunday. Yeah, she sits over here somewhere and I sit over there. So it's hard for me to get acquainted with her in that. But in Sunday school, I've come to love her. And I mean, she calls me and she'll say, I got a problem with this. And she'll ask me different things. I feel so privileged. I cannot tell you how privileged I feel that lady would share something with me. That's amazing. But that's the kind of thing that happens in Sunday school, folks. It can't happen in the greet and meet period in here on Sunday. It's just not enough time for it. And it just can't happen. Believe me when I say this, keeping everything to yourself, folks, will destroy you. Now, I had a story I want to tell you of three guys that they were forming their own group. And the first guy, there's three guys in there, and the first guy said, I got to confess. He's telling the group, he said, I have a problem with in my life. It's a terrible sin. I'm obsessed with sex and pornography, and I just feel so much better getting that off my chest to you guys. The next guy spoke up, and he said, since you said that, I want to admit this. I'm a terrific person. He said, I'm a terrible gambler. He said, I just have a gambling problem. He said, I've lost more money than most people ever make. And he said, I'm still losing it. And my family, I'm separated from them. And I don't really know what's going to happen, but I just feel so much better getting that off my chest. The third guy was over there and he said, folks, I've got a problem with gossip and I can't wait to get out of this room. See, and I did that because some of you actually feel like that guy. You don't want to share anything about your life with anybody else because you don't really want them to know you. And that fear is what's doing that. Now, the next one I put are past experiences. Past experiences. This is another excuse we hear. Here you go. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I came from. You don't know where I've been. And I would say to you, I've actually experienced this one too. Probably the greatest one I've experienced is this one. I was afraid to be around a lot of people and confess with people and talk with people because I was felt like I was beneath them. I never felt like I was equal with them. And God can heal that, folks. Let me tell you, there's some spiritual things in this fellowship that we are doing one with another. There's a spiritual message in there for us that God can take some of those things away from you and he can put his spirit in your heart and you can be that person that he uses to help someone else. What a high honor. What a terrific blessing for God to want to do that with us. Now, if some people feel like, I'm just wounded because I have a broken relationship with my parents, this, that, and the other. And I'm going to tell you what happens. The devil makes you feel guilty about some of those things. You know, and you really had nothing to do with where you came from, folks. Do you know that? God was in the whole deal. You know, God knew where I was going to be before I ever got here. He knew it before I was ever born. He's God. He knows everything. So I'm just going to trust what he's done and follow along with what his commandments say to do. Sometimes we let someone in our past just haunt us and keep us from moving forward and serving God the way we're supposed to. We need to get rid of that kind of thing, folks, because it's really holding us. It's really holding us back. I want to encourage you tonight to look at the things on your agenda, because the fifth one I've got is called busyness. Busyness. And I think if there's any one of these that I put down, this is probably the one in an epidemic problem right now. It's at an epidemic level. Everybody is too busy. You know what I'm saying? We all got to go here. We all got to go there. Hey, and we got to make sure we're over there, because so-and-so called and we got to be here. And what we end up doing is scheduling more places for us to be and to go and phone calls to answer and all these things to do. And before long, we don't have time for church. Before long, we don't realize it. We're so busy, I can't come to Sunday school this week. I can't do it. There's busyness in all of our lives. And what we've done, folks, is we've let the world set our agenda for us. Not us. We've let the world do it. Because the world's telling us, you got to be here and you got to be here and you got to be here. What we have to do sometimes is throw our hands up and say, no, stop. And let me tell you this. If your busyness is taken away from your time with God, then you need to get rid of some of that busyness. Just straight and plain, you need to get rid of some of the busyness. Maybe you need to go in a different direction for a little bit. We all work, you know, we all have jobs, we all work, we got to do so-and-so, got to do this. Sometimes I have to just step back, especially this time of year, I have to step back and just take a break from it and say, you know, it's too much. My study time is affected by it. And when that happens, I'm not happy, because I'm disappointed in myself more than anything else. I don't know if any of you ever feel that way, but I'm disappointed in myself when I let that happen. And my study time is affected, and I want to, and then I get back into the study time with God. God reassures me like he always does. And he brings me close to him, and he loves me, and he tells me that. And I feel that. His spirit is an absolutely wonderful feeling. And he does that from time to time. But we got to be careful not to let the world set our agenda for us. We've got to really, really work on that. I think that's one of the worst excuses I've heard. I'm going to read you a quote from Chuck Swindoll. Most of you know who he is. He said this. He wrote this down about busyness. He said, nobody's a whole team. You need someone, and someone needs you. We proved that just a few minutes ago. He said, isolated islands, we are not. To make this thing called life with Christ worthwhile, we've got to lean and support. We've got to give and take. We've got to relate and respond. We've got to confess and forgive. We've got to reach out and embrace. And since we are not self-sufficient, super capable, hot shots, then we need to stop acting like it. Life is lonely enough without playing that silly game. Let's get together and stop playing games and live our life for Christ. Boy, it can't get much better than that, can it? I wished I had thought of all that. That's terrific. Now, I believe everybody here would love to have someone in their life that can really help them and make a difference. I'm talking about someone that really cares about you. And I hope you've got more than one of those people in our church family that you feel that way to, that you can go to and say, hey, I need prayer. And you're not afraid of it being all over the church and all over town or all over Facebook, wherever it goes, that you know you can confide in that person, and that person is your friend. But they're your Christian friend. If you want to know who your friends are, look around, folks. They're the Christian friends you have. They're the real friends, okay? All these other folks that aren't involved in that journey with Christ, they'll let you down every time. They'll leave you hanging more than you could believe. And I found out over in my life, Christian friends are my real friends. Well, I want to get to this, and I titled this Where Everybody Knows Your Name. And I don't know how many of you in here are my age or young. I know most of you are younger. But how many remember the sitcom that was on TV for a number of years called Cheers? Thank you, three or four of you. Okay. If you never heard of it, Cheers was actually a bar, and the sitcom was in it, and it was actually about a number of people in the sitcom, and the whole story, the biggest story is that the guy who owned the bar was an ex-major league pitcher, and he'd had a drinking problem, alcoholic, he couldn't drink, yet he owned the bar. And there were so many other characters in it that just really, it really made it really an entertaining show. I've got some of the DVDs on it that my sons have given me over the years because they know it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Now, I hate to sit here as a pastor and admit that a sitcom about a bar is one of my favorite shows, but I'm just being honest, it was, okay? Now, here's the theme song from that. The theme song from that show says this. I'm not going to sing it, so don't get nervous. It says, making your way in the world today, making your way in the world today surely takes a lot. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Now, I submit to you that's really what we're looking for. And some people have found it in a bar rather than in church. That's a shame. Because if they haven't found it in church, folks, it's because of us. We've got to center in on what God wants us to do as a local church. We've got to do that. It's a terrific thing, but you know, it shouldn't have. A lot of you I know look and say, Mike, our church is growing. It's bigger than it's ever been. How are we gonna be able to get friendly with somebody? That's what small groups are all about, folks. You know? And if you're not attending the Sunday school class and you're hearing me talk about this tonight, I could help you. After the service, if you just come to me and ask me which Sunday school class would fit you better, I'll tell you directly, it's mine. That's a joke. Some of y'all got it. That's a joke. But people who generally love and care about each other, folks, that's God's people. That's what God's people are supposed to be. And other people are supposed to see that in us. Not just to come and hear preaching on Sunday, which is terrific, and I invite you to do that, but get involved in a small group. Sit down and be able to talk to somebody. One of the greatest privileges I get as teaching a Sunday school class is I watch the folks that come into the class. We've got quite a large class now, and I watch the folks come into the class. Most of them sit the same place they sat last week. We're kind of like cows about that, aren't we? One cow leads, and all the rest of them follow him, you know. But that's kind of what I watch them, and they come in like for the first time and all, and they, you know, you tell the different people, greet them, and talk to them, and all that. Then you watch them for the second, third time, and they keep coming in, and more people are talking to them than they thought. And then, you know, about the fifth, sixth time, boy, they hugging necks. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get to the neck hugging phase, and. You know, you keep going and you watch it every Sunday, and it is a wonderful thing to see. Because after a while, they're hugging and they're crying with each other. And they're saying, I love you, you know, and I want to share with you. And we have prayer concern time that we share. And it's a beautiful thing to see. I submit to you, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about the confession of the Christ as our Lord and Savior. What brings us all in here together? We're different, folks. A lot of us are very different, you know? But the only thing that's common that brings us in here is we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he saved us on the cross. We believe that in our hearts, and we follow that. That is a bond that brings us together that can never be broken. And that's what Keith was singing just a few moments ago. It's a bond that can never be broken. Now, I want to share a quick with this, and I'm done, okay? Let's look at Romans 12:5, where everybody knows your name. He says this in Romans 12:5. Paul says this, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Why would Paul write an inspired word of God so clearly written and understood as that if it wasn't so? It's very much so. Now, I want to share this with you. I learned this actually years ago from a leadership meeting that I had, an occupational type thing. And I want you to see, it's called personality profiling. This is called the DISC profile. And there are like four profiles in this DISC, okay? The first one's called the arena. The arena, that's number one down there, the arena. Now here's what the arena says. It says, you're in the arena of life, okay? And the arena says, I know you and you know. I know and you know. It's what you see, it's what you get. Now, let's be honest. Just what you see, this is all you get. You can hear me, you can see me, you can do all that, but there's something back inside that I'm not revealing to you. In the arena, people really need to know more about you. You really need to be able to relate to them and not just stay into the arena. That's just the arena phase. I know and you know. Everything you know about me is what I know about me, but there's more to it, and I haven't told you yet. That's the arena. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:11. It says this. Now, the blank there said, I need people who really know me. I know you, and I know and you know. Then 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? If we could ever lock on to that truth, folks, that we're here in the physical realm, but the spirit is what's going to live forever. That's the most important thing. It's God's spirit that he's put in us. Now, the next one that I put down the personality profile is this. It's the mask. Now, it says this. I know, but you don't know, because I'm behind the mask. You see, a lot of people do that, don't they? They hide behind something. They're holding something back. They've got the mask on, and they're saying, I know about this in here, but you don't. You can't figure that out. And that's what the mask concept is. Now, into the mask, he's got, I need people who will protect me. I need people who will protect me. I know, but you don't know. And when you're in that phase, folks, if you're walking around in this world and you got that mask on and you're hiding behind that, let me tell you, you need protection. You need help quickly, because that's a dangerous thing for you to be in. Take the mask off before God. Take the mask off before God's people. Now, I've been reading things from Paul. He says in the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 4:2, he says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open. Out in the open? Everything we do, everything we say? You know, sometimes at work right now, I'll say something and the ladies at work, one of them will say, hey, wait a minute, you're a pastor. I know. I know you're telling. And they'll remind me. It's never anything bad, but if I say something, you're just opinionated. You're a pastor, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. You know, what Paul just said was, you know, we keep everything out in the open. We don't hide it. How much better a people would we be if we kept everything out in the open and didn't hide little things away from other people, and we just were true to God without putting that mask on and that pretense that we go through? Just be who you are. That's all you have to do. That's who you are. That's what he wants, and that's what he wants you to do. That's the mask. It's not safe. Make sure you get out from under it. Now, James 5:16 says it like this. This is probably the key verse of everything I've said tonight. It's this. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Did you hear that? Well, you know, John said, we confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and wash us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us from unrighteousness. But that's not the whole thing. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote right there, confess your sins to each other also and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This confession of sin to each other is a healthy thing, folks. I'm one of these folks. I know what you're thinking right now. I don't want everybody knowing my business. I don't want everybody knowing mine either. But you need the person near you. You need somebody in a small group that can help you. Somebody that knows you by name and can pray for you. How many of us are guilty of praying and we tell God, all those people in the bulletin. You don't do that? You memorize all the names? I never have. But that's what we do. You know, but you need somebody in your life that knows you by name that'll pray for you. You very much need that. Jesus wants to build the church on that kind of thing. The confession that he's the Christ, we share that. And we're going to fellowship with each other. And that's where your place sometimes in that masking thing is where your place of vulnerability is. So I tell you, take off the mask, get involved with somebody in a group and make a friendship there that you never thought could ever exist. Third one is blind spots. Blind spots. Now I know you know. This one says, I don't know, but you know. Now how could someone know anything about you that you didn't know? Well, have you got spinach in your teeth before? That's a good example of it. Somebody's looking at you and they're going, hey. Sharon does this to me all the time. I've got hair growing in my nose. Anybody else? She'll look at me, she'll come out. You know that. I'm going, we're out. What am I going to do? I don't have anything to cut it with. Am I supposed to pull it out or what am I? That's not going to look very good either, you know. But you have that. People will tell you, you know, if you're not going fast enough, I told Jimbo if I didn't go fast enough to give me the signal back there. He hadn't done it yet, but the signal was, you know. They know about you and you don't know. You don't know what's going on. I used to have this is confession, I guess, but I used to have a problem. I'd get dressed in the morning and I would pull my pants up and then I'll put my shirt in and all that stuff. And I just simply forget to zip my pants up. And you walk into a room and here's what you're getting. You got people looking at you going, and you, what? What does that mean? You see what I'm talking about? They know something about you. You don't know it. You don't know what's going on. That's the blind spots we have. You know, and we all need this, folks. We need someone in your group, someone in this fellowship that we're talking about that will tell you the truth about you. You know what I'm saying? I had a guy come up to me one time and he said, you've gained a bunch of weight, haven't you? Jimbo's got the clock pointing at me right now, okay? I'm going to finish. But that's, look at Proverbs 27:16. I want you to see that. I'm sorry, 27:6. He says this in the New King James Version. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. How many of you know that? Somebody smiling to your face and hugging you and got the knife prepared behind your back? We've all known people like that. Blind spot says, you know, I need people to be honest with me. Your friends, your real friends, will be honest with you, folks. They'll tell you, you know, that you don't need to do this. There's a man who's passed away now, and a lot of you knew him. His name was George Cabanis. He had one of the most abrasive personalities I believe I've ever seen. But I found a way to get in that armor and see if I could just walk in there just a little bit. We became friends, and he came to me one year, and he was totally right. But it took a lot for him to sit me down and tell me this. And I was coaching Little League at the time, and he said, Mike, I'm your friend. I care about you, and I care about your kids. I said, yeah, so what? He said, I knew something else was coming. You need to stop coaching your son. He said, you're way, way too hard on him. And I tell you what, I didn't take that very well when he said it. But I went back the next day and I thought about it a good bit. And I realized, you know, he had to be a pretty good friend to sit there and tell me that. And he was very much right. And he had the answer to it, too. He said, I'm going to help you coach next year. You can coach all the rest of them except your sons. And it worked out perfectly. Every time I tried to say something to my son, he'd say, oh, wait a minute. And he'd do it. He's gone on, I hope, to be with the Lord now, but I remember that kind of thing. That's blind spots. Now, let's get last one, and we're through. It's potential. It's your potential. And it says, I don't know, and you don't know. I don't know, and you don't know. I need people who will grow with me. Potential. Do you realize that's the only way you're going to reach your potential in Christ is for others to be around you so they can grow with you and you can grow with them. That's potential. Look at the last two scriptures. I need people who will grow with me. 27:17, Proverbs says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 18:24, I love it, said a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Sometimes you want to just get away where everybody knows your name. I want you to pray about that and pray about where you are walking in that tonight. And see, you know, you may need to make a change or two in some things. And that's, you know, I'm just trying to help you understand that if you're going to grow in Christ, you need to get rid of some of these things. Let's pray. Father, I praise you tonight and ask you for, Lord, your blessing once again. Lord, there are many sick and in need. For, Lord, I am most fortunate. There are many, Lord, less fortunate than I am. And, Father, I pray for them right now. I ask you to bless them. Lord, I ask you to bless these wonderful people that are sitting in front of me tonight. Thank you for the marvelous privilege that you've afforded me to share what you put on my heart. And, Father, I pray that anything that was said tonight will bring glory to your Son, Jesus. Because it's name, his name that I want to be above all else. I want to honor him, Lord. I pray for these that have gathered, and I pray your blessings on them in Jesus' name. Amen.